Alexa, show me a video game of a guy with no pants. This and more on the Android App Addicts podcast today. Everybody, welcome back to Android App Addicts. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware. Tonight, probably a whole lot of Amazon stuff. Hint, hint. And whatever else happens to cross our minds. My name is Mark, your surly host that is driving people off by the dozens. And then there's the other two guys that you really like, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the manager, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. I could say come back, but they're already gone. So
it's no good.
No point in saying come back to the people who are still here.
As long as they wear their seatbelt, I'm okay, because this is the time of year where really bad car accidents happen.
You know what else this is the time of year for? The foods that you only get to eat this time of year. My wife is currently, at this moment, baking up some of Miss Patty's trail mix. Miss Patty's trail mix is legendary around my area, but it is more addictive than crack and worse for you. So we really only make it in December. But I'm super excited about the fact that I'm going to inhale large quantities of Miss Patty's trail mix.
So could you describe this trail mix? Because trail mix to me sounds healthy.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I've never had Atlanta hot Atlanta trail mix. So what goes into Miss Patty's recipe?
It's Bugles and Chex Mix and lots of extra Melba toast and Cheez-Its and bathed in oil and butter. And various spices, garlic and herb and powdered ranch mix, and then baked. And yeah, you literally can't eat just one. It's biologically impossible to take a single bite of this stuff.
So there's no raisins, granola. No.
Not really trail mix. Party mix
typical trail
is
mix.
A better word for it.
Yeah. Oh,
she calls
okay.
it trail mix. Maybe that's what she takes camping.
Depends on what kind of trails you ride. You walk or ride or whatever.
Roll if you eat too much of this stuff.
Yeah, I do miss Melba toast and the rye crisp.
The Gardettos, Gardettos brand. You get those.
You had me at Bugles. Oh,
man. Yeah. I'll just say, for me, this is the time of year to watch everyone eating the food that they only get once a year. Except for turkey. I kind of went a little cuckoo on turkey and gravy because I stopped and thought, gravy? Gravy's fat. Fat isn't sugar. Fat isn't carbohydrates. Give me more gravy.
Gravy has a lot of flour in it, usually.
The one that she made, I looked at the label and it said something like one helping was 2 tablespoons and it was like 3 grams of carbs. It was something low. So it was, my turkey was drenched.
Yeah, I really like Thanksgiving because it's, you know, Americans are all about excess all the time and we eat like we're feasting like kings every day. But Thanksgiving is the day that's all about the food. You know, Christmas, Easter, you have to feel a little guilty about cheapening the religious holiday or whatever. But Easter, no, it's all about the food. Just dig in. And it's the purest of American holidays.
Yeah, and I'll say my Thanksgiving, I'm happy there was no fist fights over politics or law or politicians or gender, race, sexual, this, or any of that.
I'm thankful that we didn't have a foot of snow. We actually went outside and played bags, and it was a decent day.
With your bags outside? Man.
We played cornhole. Sounds better now, don't it?
You people
Not
do some
really.
Weird stuff.
They play it over here, too. I don't play it because it means you have to go outside. My wife went shopping, and I sat there. My sister-in-law's house has no internet access.
What?
No internet access, no cable, no satellite TV at all. All she has is an HD antenna. So I tuned in, I want to say it was like 24.2 or something. And I got to watch the Drew Carey show, and a couple episodes of Johnny Carson Tonight Show. So I had an okay night. But then the wife came back and the first words out of her mouth was, I think I spent too much money. Next words out of my mouth, I don't want to know anymore.
So as I always do, I did almost all of my shopping online. I'm pretty much done. The wife has a few more things to pick up, but I'm done. And then I did it all Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, pretty much. I did so many small Amazon transactions so frequently that my bank cut off my credit card.
Wow.
I did 16 transactions in a 12-hour period.
So were you getting the like free $5 health and beauty coupon for having it shipped slower?
No, it's just Prime 2 days? I mean, it's all Prime stuff. I just, instead of loading up my cart, I just buy it. I click buy now, buy now, buy now, buy now. So if I need 14 items, it's 14 purchases. What do I care if they have to sort out the mathematics of that? That they have computers for that. So that's the thing. They called me and said, "Are you making? Did you make these last three purchases?" Yes, that's all me. It really is. Okay, that's fine.
And then you say yes, all 16 of them.
The only thing that I had any negative on was the big expensive present that I bought for my wife was declined because it was suspicious activity because I don't buy big expensive very often. So I had to go reorder that, and I barely made it in the Black Friday window. I ordered it at like 11:59 Friday night, just before the Black Friday deal stopped. So, but I made it.
So does your family give you an idea of what they want, or are you just going on your own thoughts?
No, it's both. I mean, they always say this is what we want, and then you buy them that plus, you know, something that they didn't know.
See, I can't get the first part. They don't tell me.
Well, it's really easy. Oh. They don't tell me. They don't get. Problem solved.
Yeah, I know. I should do that, but no.
Yeah, I'll say my youngest then was really easy. We asked him what he wanted for Christmas. He said, "I want a Bowser plushie and a Yozer and a Yoshi plushie." Looked at the wife. He must want more than that. So we asked him for three more days. What else do you want for Christmas? The Bowser plushie and the Yoshi plushie and, I don't know, maybe some cereal. Like, what world is this kid living in?
I got to tell you a story. My mom is well-intentioned, but that's about the best I can say for her. And several years ago, she said, you know, what do you want for Christmas? I know she doesn't have a lot of money. And she's been pestering me, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And I'm a geek. If I want something, I go buy it. That's the problem all geek dads have. Their wives and children and loved ones can't buy them anything because we go buy it. And so I said, well, I like pork rinds. Buy me some pork rinds. So clearly she had a budget that she had already planned to spend. She spent it all on pork rinds. There was this crate of like 75 boxes or bags of pork rinds that it's like, hey, I'm good with that. I ate all of them. It took a while, but it was like, you know, one bag would have been plenty. I didn't need all that, but thanks, Mom.
Yeah, my wife kept pestering. I'm like, look, I get everything I want. And then finally I said, fine, you want to get me something? Super Nintendo Mini, Nintendo console.
Yeah.
I bet you $50 I don't get it.
I don't know.
And she's going to get me stuff like ties for work. That ain't a gift.
JPH in the chat room says, my kids ask for meat. I like your kids, JPH. Yeah. So I talked about it on this show before. I think it was on this show. I'm pretty sure I was talking to you about it. It might have been, not have been recording. But the big flash deal that excited me on Amazon's Black Friday, and it's still going on at the time of this recording, I don't know about later, is Amazon was selling their Echo Dots for $29 a piece. So I bought 7 Echo Dots to put one in each room of my house, specifically for the Echo drop-in feature. So I now have a whole house intercom for way cheaper than actually putting in a whole house intercom. So we can say, you know, Alexa, drop in on daughter number one, and it, and we're talking. And so dinner's ready, and then come down. So that's really the only thing I bought it for. And at that price, it was $210 for 7 of them. Way cheaper, like I said, than any other intercom. Even a wireless intercom would have run probably $299 or something like that. Anything bonus was just that, bonus. And I got to say, we're having the most fun with Alexa. I never really had any exposure to Alexa. I'm a Google Voice guy. A Google Assistant guy. But like tonight, we sat around the dinner table while we ate and played games with Alexa. There's this game called Word Chain where you have to say a word that begins with the last letter of the word the person before you said. So we were playing the animal version. So if I said tortoise, you would have to say elephant. And then that's T, and the next person I'd say tarantula. And spent an hour and a half, just good family time playing that with the Echo. The kids have been, I came up to bed last night about 10:30, well after my kids should have gone to sleep, and my middle child was having a conversation with Alexa, just chatting with Alexa as if she were one of her friends. I mean, I'm not really happy about that part, but overall, the Alexa app is way cooler than I gave it credit for.
the two quick questions I have for you. One, every room, even the bathrooms?
We've got, you know, there's four bedrooms, three children, mom and dad, and then living room, and then there's two rooms in the basement, man cave and craft room.
Gotcha. Second, because the kids are involved, here's my question. Here's one of the things I hear people talking about, and there is no, I think, clear, perfect answer, but how do you feel because kids are treating these like social interactions, should the Alexa and Google Now assistant, and I don't care if I say it, send all hate mail to aapodcast.com, should it be programmed to respond to rudeness and manners? Do you want your kids to say, please play this music? You know what I mean? I hear people talking back and forth, and I don't see any perfect answer, but I'm interested by the conversation.
Alexa does respond to please and thank you, but it's not a requirement. But if you say please, she notices that you say please and responds to it. But I have no problem with my children. Now, my youngest is 9. They're way past the age of not understanding the difference between technology and a person. They don't think there's a magic person on the other side of that. So I kind of dodged that bullet, to be honest. But I have no problem with my children treating an automaton like an automaton. It doesn't bother me at all that they command the device to do something and even get frustrated when it doesn't. But I certainly wouldn't let them command one of their friends or an adult. So I think that whole argument is a little silly. If your kids don't know the difference between Alexa or Google Assistant and a person, that's not their problem. That's your problem as a parent.
I don't think the issue is they don't know the difference. I think the issue is there's a lot of parents out there who are such helicopter parents. Their kids' interactions with other kids are so limited that it might be easy how they speak towards one of them to easily bleed over to the very sparse interactions they have with normal people. So I think it's almost a side effect of something.
It's a symptom of a much larger sickness at that point.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say because you have the Google wireless in your house, if you didn't, I would literally be worrying about your performance of your network in your house with 7 of them.
I've noticed nothing. I mean, I haven't been actively looking for it, but the interactions are pretty minimal.
Your Google wireless is 3 pucks?
Yes.
Okay. Because for some reason I've seen them with 1. It just must be an add-on. But the original
Google
system is 3.
Yeah, the original Google Home was just 1. But yeah, the smallest package you can buy is 3.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm living in a loft type thing, a studio place, I don't need 3 of them.
You don't need mesh. All you need is a Linksys at that point. Really, the only point of having the Google is to have the mesh network between devices.
Well, and it helps with automation between that and Chromecast and stuff.
Probably.
I just want to get mine out farther, out to the garage from my house, which is, 200 feet away. Get a nice signal out there eventually.
That would be difficult. I don't know that you'd get significant performance there. You're still going to end up having to run a piece of fiber or copper.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get there now with my little neck gear one. Looks like a little spaceship with all the antennas sticking up all over it. It gets there by itself, but I'd like it to.
You need to buy some directional, like Yagi antennas, to put on it. And that then doesn't matter what you use, you're laser beaming the signal. I've done that some. Network purists out there, you're get ready to cringe. I've run some 802.11 outdoors in the past between buildings. Which is totally not what it was ever intended to do. But if you have the right antenna set up, it can go a quarter mile without any significant degradation. But you end up spending as much on the antenna as you would on an access point.
Well, yeah, the first thing that comes to mind the first words that come to my mind is tin foil. But, that's because I'm cheap.
Yeah, or a Pringles can. Yeah. Google Cantenna. Those things work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get electricity out there first before I start worrying about internet connectivity.
They're called extension
cords. And I need to get a roof put on it before I put electricity in it for obvious reasons, too.
So do you guys have large dead plant materials in your living room right now?
Fake.
Oh, no, yeah, no. I didn't know where you were going there. I've never had a live tree in my entire life, ever.
We did the
Christmas tree, and we don't have any up
yet. The first year we were married. And cleaning up in December, we literally broke the vacuum cleaner with pine needles. And I said, never again.
Oh.
So we've always had. In fact, that year we bought a cheap one. That it was the most expensive one we could afford, which was like $83. It looked like a pipe cleaner on steroids. It was terrible. And then we lived with that for 2 years until we bought really high-end expensive one. It was almost $200. That's the one we've had for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't really go bad unless you lose a part or the stand breaks, but you can always get a new stand.
I was
walking
through, I think it was Home Depot the other day, and they had this 12-foot guy. It was really nice. And just out of curiosity, I glanced over the price tag. It said $3,000. And I thought, clearly, somebody has moved the price tag from one of these grills over to the Christmas tree. But no, that's what this thing cost, $3,000 for a tree.
And what did it do?
It stood there. It was lit up. It was pre-lit. There was, 89 cents worth of Christmas lights on it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Man, you got to be pre-lit to spend anywhere close to that.
Well, and to have the lights integrated into the tree is like buying a DVD VCR combo back in the day. It's just planned failure. And people say we're in a recession. I point to those kinds of things actually selling in stores. I don't really think there's much of a recession when luxury items like that seem to sell just fine.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't have to sell many, right? If you sell one, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you got your Christmas shopping done. I haven't even started. I really haven't started. I don't know why.
Dude, this is going to be the most stressful and difficult time for shipments to come on time in the history of international shipping. There's no doubt in my mind. It is going to be, I'm so happy I don't work for FedEx, UPS, DHL, Post Office, or any of them, because I'm pretty sure I would use all my leave in the next couple weeks.
I've got two FedExes and a DHL and a USPS pickup got done. So I've got three things in route right now. Just hoping no snowstorms or anything.
Well, of the things that I bought, they came in, I think, six different shipments. Three of them have already been late. But I'm fine. I mean, wow. I ordered them 5 weeks early, so late is not a big deal. But yeah, the Amazon Prime 2-day shipping, one of them is going on 6 days.
Huh. So that, things like that might push us back towards the stores where you can just go in and grab it, throw it in the cart, and walk out.
Nope.
No, I don't know, man.
Because it's going to take a year, and people will forget that it happened and just go right back to online.
You're talking about the pre-lit Christmas tree. We have one of those that has Christmas lights wrapped around it because they burned out the second year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to buy the combo is, it doesn't make any sense to me. And lights are cheap enough. They're cheap enough. You just string them around the tree. You plug it in. Voila.
I've pretty well decided that at the end of this season, I'm going to just throw out all my lights, whether they work or not, and then next year go buy all new lights.
What you do is the week after Christmas, go buy all new lights.
Yeah.
And keep them in their box, and then next year you just unpack them. You'll save so much money.
Those of you who might have thought I was exaggerating, I was wrong on the price of that Christmas tree. It was not $3,000. It was $4,300. I just posted the link
in
the chat.
I got to see this thing. Nice. That's a decent. I mean, that really doesn't look special. It looks like a perfectly shaped tree, but there's nothing.
Well, isn't that sort of the whole thing? Is it looks like a real tree?
But doesn't
$4,300 for a 15-foot Bayberry spruce memory shape tree, whatever memory shape means, with dual color LEDs.
You can tackle it and it'll bounce right back up into that shape. It's like memory. It's made out of memory steel branches. Like safety glasses.
You stuff it in the box, and next year it comes out looking exactly like that.
Yeah. You vacuum seal it in like your vacuum sealer bag that you put the leftover turkey in, and it folds flat, and you can just lay it on the bottom of your closet for the whole year. And then as soon as you take the scissors of that vacuum seal, bloop, it looks just like that again. That's why you pay $43 or $4,313.
Surprisingly, there are no reviews. Nobody's actually bought this tree.
Now, I'm confused, though. It shows both with... Do you have to make a choice whether you want colored lights or white lights?
No, it's dual-color LEDs. See, some are white, some are color.
Oh, it better be more than dual-color LEDs. That's all I'm saying.
$5,000 dual-color lights. Change from warm white to multicolor with the touch of a button. Where's that button at?
On a remote that you'll lose.
I bet it is.
I bought one of those.
And there's no physical way to change them after that.
One of those laser things last year from Amazon Review Trader. And it worked great all last season.
Oh, yeah. The things you shine at your house instead of putting lights up?
I put it up this year, and the remote no longer works. And I thought, well, it's just a battery. It's one of those funky A23s, but I was able to find one. And, no. After paying $7 for the battery, the remote doesn't work. It worked when I took it. Well, it worked when I put it up, right? But I didn't, switch it off on and off all season. I'm assuming it just rusted out in the rain. And so there you go.
I put lights up out too, and I got that from AMZ Review Trader last year, but I couldn't put it out because I can't find it. I have no idea where I put it.
I have two of them this year. I have one pointed at the house.
But this year,
and one pointed over the house at the trees behind it. It looks super cool.
Yeah, you really need to have two. One does not cut it. I did get from Vipon, which we call now. It's no longer AMZ.
It's no longer a good place to find deals either.
Well, sometimes I've got a bunch of solar powered Christmas lights for $2 a string. I didn't think that was too bad. So I've got these old gas lamps in the front and the back of my house that actually used to run off of natural gas or whatever back in the day. So I just shove them in there and point the solar panel towards the south, and they stay on all night. It looks like I got a little lamp.
So I bought a couple of, they haven't arrived yet, but since I've been playing with the Echoes, I bought a couple of outlets that will connect to you just plug them in and then you plug stuff into them. So I'm going to have my Christmas lights and my Christmas tree all on the Amazon. So I'm going to set them in a group that says, Christmas. So Alexa, turn on Christmas, and all the inflatables in the yard come on and stuff. And that'll be fun.
Did you get the TP-Link smart one?
I don't remember what brand I bought. It wasn't the cheapest, but it wasn't the most expensive. It was somewhere in between. And it seemed it had the highest reviews.
Like $23 a plug?
No, it was 30 for 10 for three of them. It was $10 a plug.
Oh, that's not bad. So can you set a timer on the Alexa?
The device itself has a timer. But I think with If This Then That, you can do that. You can't do it directly on the Alexa.
So you've got the Google Home too, right?
No, I don't have that.
Oh, okay. Because I'm probably going to end up doing the same thing you're doing, but with Google Homes. Because I got one already, the main one. But now I've got a mini coming. Right. And they're really on sale.
They're $29
this week too. But so can I start my hardware discussion since I've got that coming?
Absolutely.
I wasn't going to go out and buy one. But so last Sunday, I'm doinking around with stuff, and all of a sudden I'm listening to a podcast. It might have been your podcast even, Mark, and that's probably what did it. But all of a sudden my phone goes and turns off, and that was it. Couldn't turn it back on. I could hold down my power, and this is the Pixel XL 128 gig phone that I just bought a month ago from
the one you got used off of Facebook
from the girl at John Deere.
Oh yeah.
Not off of Swappa.
So I'm holding the power and volume down, trying to get it to reboot. It'll vibrate. It'll doom. It's trying to do something. So I'm like, oh man, I don't know what to do. So they did have a repair shop that's an hour away that Google teams up with. I guess it's like You Break, I Fix or something like that. And they're like, yeah, we'll diagnose it for free if you want to bring it in. So then I went to my old the guy that worked across the street from my shop. It's an electronic store. Took it to him. He kind of looked at it. He thought it was the screen, but he wasn't sure. He'd have to buy a screen because he knew he'd break it if he took it apart and stuff like this. So I'm chatting with Google back and forth. I'm like, hey, just by chance, is there anything, any kind of warranty or whatever? And for Google Fi users, don't use the chat. Or if you do and you have bad results, don't get frustrated because the chat sucks. Just things. It absolutely, they won't follow up on anything. Each time they told me I'd get an email within 24 hours to take it to the next level to help sort this out, they say. And I never got an email from any of them. So I finally called. Oh, good.
Really quick question. Mm-hmm. Did you buy this with a card or cash?
From the girl?
Yeah.
Cash?
Okay, because there's a lot of Visas and MasterCards out there.
Oh,
you would have had.
Even if I bought it from you off your swipe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Square or whatever. So, I did pay cash. Good question, though. He looked at it. He thought it was the screen. So I ended up calling him. Like, hey, I'm supposed to be getting this email 3 days in a row now. Nobody's emailed me. And so I ended up talking to this guy, and he kind of felt badly for me, because this is the only bad experience I've had with Project Fi as a service. I mean, Their phone, Google's phones, the quality, honestly, this is my fourth one. I've had three bad ones now. So he worked it out. It made it sound like I had to jump through a ton of hoops, but then somehow he worked it out so I didn't. Long story short, that phone I bought still had warranty. Still had 111 days worth of warranty left.
Nice.
They're going to warranty it out. I had to send it in, and they were going to send me a new one. Okay, so I'm like, okay, that sounds great, right? I'm going to get a refurbished phone from Google to replace this one's not working. 128 gigabyte Pixel XL. Fine, that sounds good. And then I started thinking, you know, hey, what's the warranty on this one? Do I get another year? And he's like, no, you'll get the exact same amount of time that this one had, so you'll have about 100 days of warranty.
Oh, well, that's better than most.
It depends on how old the other one was. So then I'm thinking again, right now, well, as of today is the last day, but they had a bunch of Cyber Monday specials. So if you bought a Pixel 2, you got a $100 credit on your Google Fi account, and you got a free Chromecast. They also have a trade-in deal where that particular phone, a Google XL, a Pixel XL, 128 gigs, they would give me a $405 credit for trading it in. So basically it's $505 and a Google Home Mini is what I get. And the Pixel 2 is $650. So I'm paying $150 basically. And the Google Pixel 2 has a 2-year warranty because of all the screen issues they had. They doubled the warranty. So I do that. And so I asked them, I go, I'm starting to trade in paperwork or, you know, filling in the forms while I'm on the phone with the guy. And I go, okay, so there's a question on here. It says, cause I'm basically, he's going to send me this replacement phone. I'm going to put it in another sleeve and send it right back to him. Right. And, there's a question on there. It says, so what kind of phone is it? It's a Pixel. It's 128 gigs. It's black. And it's Verizon. So I'm like, well, is the replacement you're going to send me a Verizon or a Google one? Because it had the option, or international. He said it'll be a Google one because you're on Fi. So I'm like, I hit that. And I've already read a bunch of reviews where about this trade-in service that when they started up was really bad because they were saying the phones weren't what they said they were and they were giving people a lot less money. You know, they thought they were going to get $405. They ended up getting $105 or whatever because it was the wrong stuff. So he said, okay, it's going to be a Fi. So I typed in Fi, ordered my Pixel 2. Everything's going. I'm like, all right, as long as the mail ships and everything works out, this might just be okay. I get the RMA today. It's like, hey, congratulations, your replacement phone shipped. It's a Google Pixel XL 128 gigabyte Verizon. I'm like, oh. And so I've got the wrong information on the phone that I'm trading in now, and I've already known that that's an issue. So I call them up. I call them back. I'm like, hey, this is what happened. You guys told me it was going to be Google. And the late, and this is another thing. Every customer service place is like this. Sometimes you just don't get the right person. You can't really judge the book by one person because this girl told me, she's like, well, what you got to do is you're just going to have to refuse that first order and then just order a second Pixel and do it with the right trade-in thing. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do that.
Hang up, call again.
Well, so I was about to do that, but then I was like, you know, that $100 and the Google Home Mini is only one per customer, and you only get that after you activate your phone for 30 days. So I go, so I call back. I'm like, how's that going to work on a second phone? Are they even going to, you know, if I'm refusing the first one, are they going to give me that deal on the second one? So she's like, no, don't order a second one. I'm going to put it in the notes here that we've had this discussion. We're not sending you the phone that you thought you were going to trade in. So it's kind of on us. Totally cool. So here we are. We're in the next Monday and Tuesday when these FedEx drops ship here. And I'm just going to have to see how this goes. So this might be the first chapter of this story. But essentially, I paid $250 for that XL, Pixel XL, and I'm paying another $150. So it's $400, right? $250. And,
yeah.
So I'm paying $400 for a Pixel 2 with a 2-year warranty. So that's not too bad, I guess. Long way to get there, though. And not having a phone for 3 days, 4 days now is not cool, man. I'm not happy about that.
Just take one from one of your kids.
Yeah, that's not fair for them.
Yeah, and?
Go ahead. Your job as a parent is to make sure when your kids leave your house, they understand life isn't fair.
Amen, brother.
You gotta teach them that. You gotta make sure they know nothing in life is fair. If they expect things to be fair, they're gonna live a miserable life and be upset every day and get triggered off of everything.
Yeah, they truly probably need it. I don't need it other than apps and stuff. You know, I don't ever make phone calls. I don't have people reaching out. I don't have like tons of friends just lined up to talk to me after work.
Excuse me? What am I?
On this day. But I've still got this Wi-Fi device, which is basically a very small tablet. It's called a Note 4, and this is what I've been communicating on for the last 4 days. It just never works unless I'm on Wi-Fi. Which is okay until you get certain situations. Besides, all right. Anyway, that's that story.
Now, real quick, Pixel 2 or Pixel 2 XL?
Pixel 2.
Okay, because both of them have had reportedly multiple issues on all kinds of fronts. I believe Google has no choice, just like Samsung after the Note 7 debacle or whatever. They have no choice but to make it right. So to get one now, there's little doubt in my mind it's going to be a fine device, fine phone, working good, solid camera. The only question is, are you going to have to do like you did last time and, well, in 100 days, send it in for a new one because this one died kind of thing? And we don't know. I will say this. I still think those phones are above average. But personally, I still feel like everyone who buys one is at least a little bit of a beta tester, if they don't opt into the latest stuff. And honestly, I know if I had that phone, I'd be happy with it.
You know, this Note 4 I bought new 4 years ago never misses a beat. It's been fine. Had I had not been so mad at US Cellular, I would have used it as my everyday driver for a long time. Google's hardware is not the greatest, I'm saying. The thing is, that Pixel, I don't know where it has been. She got it. She was not the original owner of it. So I don't know what kind of life it had before I had it. And I could not find any kind of other people having that same issue with that same phone. I looked and looked. I was about ready to order a screen, you know, just to replace the screen in case that's what it was. I just didn't. I'm just glad that they hooked me up. I feel they did.
Well, and to me, that's the difference with Google Fi, and it seems like most other companies I've heard around the globe, they at least try with customer service, even if when you call them up, they say stuff like, dude, all right, man.
For sure, man. No, we totally got you, man. No, I got to say, Ken was the guy. He hooked me up. Good job, Ken.
You know, I've talked about in the recent past that I was going to buy my wife a phone for Christmas. It's not a surprise. She knows it's coming. She doesn't know which one is coming. And I told her I was going to buy the Nexus 5 5 because I've been so pleased with it. Well, as Dore rightly pointed out, they're no longer selling the OnePlus 5s. They now have the OnePlus 5T. And as far as I can tell, the T stands for twice the price. It's exactly the same phone at twice the price.
It's $60 more. No, it's not twice the price.
I paid under $400 for this one. And to have the same configuration on the 5T is almost $600. So it's 150%. It's not twice. You know.
No, it's not. No. First off, they've done this now for years with the OnePlus, and I'm not justifying what they're doing. But what they do is, I hate saying it like this, Apple, solid number S. The S's are essentially revisions. And that's, unfortunately, that's what the OnePlus 5T is. It's a tightened down, honed revision of things that people say that they did get wrong in the 5. My logic is it's already a really top of the line phone. I would sooner, Mark, go on Swappa and just look for a regular OnePlus 5 in good condition. The T looks good, but I don't think it, I will agree, I don't think it looks good enough to have that price difference. Because when they first did it, everyone was saying it was only going to be $50 difference. And then when you start looking at the different models, I want to say the biggest difference I saw was like $160.
I know it's not twice the price, but it was a good joke. Go with it.
You've definitely had me concerned.
My OnePlus, I'm looking at the invoice right now. Tax, total, title, license, out the door, $485. So for a comparably equipped 5T is $600. So it is about $120 more for essentially nothing. There is nothing more on the 5T other than 0.2 inches screen difference.
Well, and you pay for less bezel. That's really the only difference. I mean, I'm sure there's something, but that's the only thing she's going to notice.
So I ended up going with the, going back to my old love, the Moto, Motorola. You know, both my kids have Motorolas. I was rocking a Motorola up until this one. I got her the Motorola Z squared, which was $399, $400 phone, 6 gigs of RAM, 4 gigs of RAM. I don't remember which, you know, solid specs, not the best of the top of the line, but not low end by any means for $400. And for me, $400 is about the sweet spot for a phone. At $400, you get a quality phone with NFC and the latest features. Below that, you start dropping features. And above that, I don't see any value. I've yet to see a phone, Eric, that's worth more than $500. Period. End of sentence.
No, I can't disagree. I was okay with the 5X. That was $350 new when it first came out. I sent back the 6P, which was about $580, I think, when it was new, and I didn't think it was worth it. I would say for those who use the stylus, the new Note is ridiculously high. It's $1,200. Yeah. But like the Note 4, if I use the stylus, this was over $500, and it was a very good phone for, you know, how long it lasted. Removable battery, you know, it's just a pretty decent phone. It's held up. You know, it still plays everything just fine. So there are some out there. It's a use case, though. If you're just using it for, you know, a phone call and a couple apps, there's no reason.
And I did also, I'm having an existential dad moment. I'm hoping my kids don't listen to this. I'm gambling on the fact that they won't. They never do. But we'll see. This will be the one time that they do. I've got the doors closed. I'm whispering. So during the Amazon Black Friday sale, they had the HD, the Kindle Fires. 7 inches were $29. 8 inches were $49, and the 10 inches were $99. Cheapest ever on any of those.
Yeah.
So yeah. My wife's primary computer interface in the world is her phone. We have a laptop. She doesn't use it. Along with the new phone, I also got her a Kindle Fire 8-inch tablet, for $50, cause why not? And you know, so she can have a little bigger interface when she's sitting on the couch pretending to watch TV and actually being on Facebook, which is like basically her pastime. At that price, I bought myself one. I don't need one, but you know, I kind of want one. So I had ordered that, and slightly after that, of course, it's a secret. Nobody knows. Like 3 days later, my oldest daughter, out of the blue, for no reason, said, you know, I'd kind of like to have a tablet for Christmas. I've already bought her the first thing that she said she wanted for Christmas. I've already bought her Christmas. So now I'm having this dilemma. Do I give her my tablet? Because like I said, I didn't really even need it, right? Do I just give it to her, or do I teach her a lesson about you said you wanted one thing, but then again, it was like 5 weeks early. You know, there's still plenty of time to back off on that. And then if I do give her the both things, then I have to go out and buy two more things for my other kids. Otherwise, they'll say, how come she got two things and we only got one? And or I could just keep my own tablet. So what do you guys think as dads?
Yeah, you just gave her that tablet and got yourself the 10-inch.
Well, that would be awesome if they were still having that sale, but they're not. So now I'm back to paying full price of $150. And $150 for a 10-inch tablet is still cheap.
Oh, she gave you this after the prices were back to normal.
Yes, otherwise I'd have just
bought it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll end up giving her yours, and you'll find something else to replace it.
Yeah, I want to teach her a lesson in some way, but yeah, you're right. What do you think, Dor?
You're not going to like my answer, Mark. Number one, has she been good? Does she deserve something special? I mean, you know, are her grades doing real good? Is she doing the stuff around the house you're asking? Is she not being rude or mean to the other siblings?
Well,
stuff
everything
like
but
that
last one.
To me, that... Okay. Well, if your other kids expect Christmas to be fair, I'll repeat what I said before, that nothing is fair. At the same token, I'm okay with giving a kid something extra if they deserve it, only if they show. And, you know, extraordinary behavior should deem extraordinary gifts. That's my logic. And if it's not extraordinary, then it's really hard to justify. I would say there's no problem with saying, maybe this is the most crazy thing. Could they share it? Could it be the girls?
See, my other two already have tablets. One got one for a birthday. Another one got one for Christmas last year. So she's the only one that doesn't have a tablet, but only because she hasn't asked previously.
Is she the youngest? There's probably going to be
a last minute Amazon, hey, 7-day countdown sale.
Yeah, I mean,
man, Mark, I am really leaning towards getter it. And then if one comes up, you buy it.
Yeah.
The real quick, one thing I want to add is you stipulated one of my beliefs now for well over a year. There is no other tablet on the market, even worth looking at, even worth considering, even worth thinking about, than the Amazon tablets. All the other tablets suck horribly compared to modern phones, and they're all extremely overpriced compared to modern phones. There will be other deals. The only question is, will they be that good? Now, if you could picture yourself even a solid hour a week playing on that tablet, I would be tempted to put myself as the priority. But if you just see it as, you know, you're just going to look up IMDb, who was this girl in this one episode of Daredevil, then
the primary use case and the reason I bought it was A, just to play with it, because $50, and B, when I'm a musician in church and I can use that instead of sheet music. See,
You're going to want the 10 inch anyway, then, if that's your use case. Yeah,
probably.
I love Eric.
We can justify it. We're humans, man. We can justify anything we
want.
So
I've been experimenting again when in my moments when there's nobody else here with turning that tablet into a bona fide Android tablet. And I found I think I've got a process worked out, gluing together various posts over the web where you can put the Play Store in it, and there's a launcher replacer that'll take away the Fire launcher, and I put the Google Now launcher on it just because it's a simple launcher that people like. But the trouble is I've been testing it with my account, but I like to have all these things all set up before I give it to him, you know, just ready to log in, already logged in because I know everybody's passwords and stuff and I can just log them in. But dang Google with their new security measures, now your current device says, did you just log in over here? Right? And I can log into their email and like capture that email, but it goes straight to the device. So now I can't either I don't set it up or I find some subterfuge by which I take away both my wife and my daughter's phones for a couple of hours while I get it all set up. And then I have to go a little farther. I have to work something out with AT&T so that I can activate my wife's new phone without deactivating her existing phone. Christmas is hard.
Well, I'll say, I believe another host on your other show, GeekRant at elementopia.com, has the term PPP, piss poor planning. I will say this. The easy way to circumvent that, Mark, is to first have them signed in on your device. In the very beginning, that so you always have that stashed away device that you know you can access their stuff on.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. The security thing always comes and says, you just logged in on X device. And it goes to all your Android devices where you're logged in, straight to the device.
Will it survive even a reboot?
So I have to snatch their phone from it? That's the thing.
No. Just carefully timed, I think this could be doable. It might take a team effort. I will not lie. You might have to wrangle in some cohorters into this equation, but I think it's possible.
I mean, I could do the whole tooth fairy thing and sneak into my daughter's room at night and steal her phone from her and set it up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a right answer for this, Mark.
Because it's to me, when I was a kid, there was nothing more disheartening than getting a Christmas present that wasn't set up and then having to give it to an adult to either assemble it or set it up or whatever.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you, this year, again, I said this is going to be the worst year for shipping. This is also going to be the worst Christmas ever setting up new X. Put X in its place, whether it's a new Xbox One S, a new Nintendo Switch, a new phone, a new tablet, a new anything like that. It's going to be ridiculous because every service is going to be extremely overwhelmed. Ooh. So there's a lose-lose situation there, Mark.
So anyway. All this talk about Christmas stuff, and that was hardware. That was true Android hardware. But maybe we should talk about an app or two since we're an hour in almost. And let's start with one that came from the chat room. And I'm sorry it's already scrolled past. I don't remember who it was. But the My Xmas Tree app. So you don't have to spend $4,300 on a Christmas tree. You can get one right here on the Android device goodness from Imagineer.
I totally missed it. Marky Mark in the chat room put this out there, and I didn't even see that link.
Yeah, this is weird. If you had like a Chromebook, you can output the, output to a TV kind
of
thing.
Yeah, just set this up. Being... Get a cheap 40-inch Walmart TV and put it in your picture window facing outwards, and then just Chromecast your Christmas tree over to it.
Yeah, this is by Imagineer, E for Everyone, My Christmas Tree, 1,200 reviews. Here's the real selling feature of it. There's a lot of choices in customizing the tree. Different colored trees, different ornaments on trees, different lights on trees. So that to me is the real plus. I could see maybe this is a background. I could see my wife being all over this one.
Yeah. It's priced right too. It's free.
It doesn't look like you get to decorate them. My kids would do this if you could like decorate them, but from what I can tell, that's not an option. They're just
with 2,000 user submitted trees. You got to have one in there somewhere that's going to feel the way you do about how it should be decorated. Eventually, you'll cross paths with it, right?
Unless you celebrate.
Well, it does say endless unique design combinations and color schemes possible.
Okay, so maybe they could dig it. So, yeah, I mean, I could see my middle schooler being all over this. She still loves the dolly dress-up things where they fashion whatever.
And one of the comments says, makes beautiful trees. I love how I can make them my live screensaver.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And there's a big mute button where you can turn the sounds off. That's important.
The only thing missing is a cup of pumpkin
spice.
Compass
in the stock of this thing.
I thought you were going to say a compass on there.
All right, so that's the first app of the day brought to you by Marky's Mark in the chat room. Eric, why don't you start us off this week?
Okay, well, this is going to be a merge. It's going to be a merge between an app and hardware. Speaking of Christmas, this was really super cheap at Walmart, so I picked one up for $9. And this is called the Merge Cube. Basically, it is a foam, squishy kind of foam cube that's got a bunch of weird hieroglyphics all over it that your camera sees when you install the app. And so it can tell what side of the cube you're looking at. I think it was $9, and we bought it. I mean, they had a pile of them still at Walmart. Nobody bought this thing. So they were $9, and I'm sure they'll be $9 until they run out of them, or they'll get cheaper.
Is the app free at least?
The app is free, and there's probably about 4 apps that go with this that are free, and there's probably about 12 more apps that aren't free that are paid apps. And then I did find one app in the store that was in the beta stage, still unreleased app, that was basically, it turns it into a globe, and as you spin it around, you can spin the world in your hand, and then it had a bunch of overlays for weather and tells fun facts about the earth and things like that.
I love that when you're at mergevr.com and you click the buy now, it takes you to Walmart. That's awesome.
is it $9?
$10.88.
Oh, okay. It's a little cheaper at Walmart in the store then. It's really super simple. The apps that it comes with, I think it's like Merge Things is the main app, and they are just super, super simple apps. One of them is basically just a basket full of bottle rockets, and you press it, and you watch bottle rockets in AR blow up in your living room or wherever you're sitting. It's a good thing to tinker with. It's worth about what it's maybe not even $9 worth. It's a gimmicky thing. I'm glad they didn't try to charge any more than that for it. I'll put it that way. But it'd be an attention getter if nobody knew what the heck it was, just sitting around, like it will be in 2 years. Right.
And then you can use it as a, to level a table or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be a big gap. I mean, if you've got that much missing out of one of your table legs, I guess you could shave off a corner of it or something. Yeah.
All right, dear. What have you got for us, dear?
Dear door.
Well, what I'm going to bring, he did a combo thing, so I'm going to bring a combo thing. I'm going to bring two things in one, only because I got to get it out there kind of thing. 20, man, I'm old. 27 years ago, I played D&D with a couple people. I now have people who I talk with on Voxer. Pretty frequently, wanting to start up a D&D thing. So they gave me two apps to look at. The first one is called 5th Edition Character Sheet by Walter Kramer, E for Everyone, 60,000 downloads, does have ads, does have in-app purchases, 4.5 average reviews, updated November 15th, 2017, between 500,000 and 1 million installs. Every time I look at my app drawer and I see the word fifth followed by a space and then a capital E, I just see fifth element. Yeah. And, you know, so I guess that's good. The second app is the Complete Reference for D&D version 5 by Van Stein N. Grotischer. Role-playing, E for Everyone, 1,900 reviews, does again have ads, does again have in-app purchases, completely free to download. 4.3 average reviews, updated November 23rd, 2017. Between 100,000, 500,000 installs. I'm going to basically need a combination of these to get started up, to get warmed up, to try to hang with them. Thankfully, I want to say we have maybe six people. If you are yourself interested, shoot us an email. Shoot me an email personally at mail@panos.com. I was told you really shouldn't have more than seven people. So if we have six people and a couple people bail out, I might call on you if you want to come up and play. I am also looking for a beginner's thing to the fifth version, fifth edition, because apparently a lot has changed from back in my day. This is a thing. I'm going to have to go buy real dice because real men don't use digital dice, I was told. Real men use real dice.
Random. What difference does it make?
Well,
here we go. I've heard this one before.
Oh, okay.
Well, you've told me that random on the computer is never random, Dor.
It's really difficult on computers to do true
random. But when you're talking about 1 to 20, I don't get it.
I didn't say, and that's the whole thing, what's good enough? And the game Nazi says it's never good enough. You always need physical dice. And me being the noob, I'm trying to cause as less friction as possible. The last thing I want to do is stand out and look stupid in their eyes. So I'm just going to break down and go on Amazon for, what, $4, whatever, buy a set of dice. The one advantage I heard in the fifth edition is most of the dice you need are actually 20-sided. You typically don't need all the other size dice for a lot of the things going on. So I guess that's a good thing, I guess, because it's easier to do math. I don't know. I'm either going to end up being the guy they pick on until I get sick and tired, or I guess I'm going to actually learn and maybe get better. I don't know.
I remember the old basic, TW Basic random number generator. That was a pretty good deterministic random number generator, but it always started at the same point because back in that day you were turning off your computer every time. So it was random, but it was the same random sequence every time you ran the program. We've gotten better at it since then. Okay, that was...
Oh, yeah, we've gotten ridiculously better.
We've gotten $4,500 tree better.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll say this. If you have beginner-friendly 5th edition D&D, especially audio content, let me know. Because I need to get educated as quick as possible and text and me kind of fist.
You mean like an audiobook that teaches you the Dungeon Master's Guide on audiobook?
I do not know. I'm not a Dungeon Master. I don't want to be a Dungeon Master.
Isn't Ready Player One all you ever need to know about Dungeons and Dragons?
I wouldn't know, Mark. I've never listened to it.
I'm trolling you.
But if I've listened to part of it.
And, you know, the movie's going to come out, and that's going to be better, right? So I'll just watch that.
I felt physical pain.
Oh, I cannot wait for people to flip out and the diehards and just, oh, man, they're going to kill that movie. They're going to destroy it.
So let's do some emails. First off, let me thank a few people. Carlo, Jay, and Matthew. I won't say your last names, but thank you so much for your Patreon pledges. And then special thanks to Todd for going way over and above. I don't want to mention amounts. I don't want to be any more crass than I already am when I've told people to pay up or unsubscribe. But you guys literally are what makes this show happen. Thank you so much for your amazing support. And I'm not going to read it entirely because it's really long, but a listener, Greg, sent a rather long email basically taking me to task about my rant when I said, if you're not paying, you're dead weight and you should unsubscribe. And he lists a lot of very valid reasons why he's not paying. And he says, well, I guess I'm out of here. See you later. And Dor talked him off the ledge. And I think he's still listening. So, Greg, if you're still listening, I wasn't trying to single anybody out, but I also stand by the fact that if you don't contribute in any way, it's not always money. There are other ways to contribute. That email, by the way, just did that. You contributed. You're part of the content. If you don't contribute in any way, you have to ask yourself whether this show is actually providing any value. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and that is one of the points I brought to him. I said, first off, to have enough passion to write an email of that length is worth a lot. Might not be money, but it's worth a lot. Feedback is one of the things that in my humble opinion, every real, true podcaster lives off of and thrives off of feedback. Good, bad, indifferent, it's fuel. Him writing that email was paying it forward. It was letting us know. It was communicating with us. Communication with us is the only way to get your voice ever heard. And he took the time to write the email. I'm not going to say I talked him off the ledge. The goal wasn't to talk him off the ledge. The goal was to just hope he understood that the goal wasn't to make everybody pay up or leave, because we did state multiple times in multiple shows, if you can't afford it, don't even think about giving us a dime. Ever. And to be honest, Ivor was the guy who said it right. There's multiple ways to pay it forward. Ivor's email was the best possible example I've ever heard in a podcast on how to support a podcast. There's lots of ways. And just an email, even if it's only one email a year, helps at least my psyche a hell of a lot. So, you know.
Yep.
I need all the help I can get.
Hanging in the live chat room is cool, too. We had a guy in here tonight who I don't remember being in the live chat with before, and he's actually listening to us live in the same state I'm in. So there's two of us here in Illinois now.
One of the best chat room experiences I ever had on my show that is no longer a thing, Everyday Linux, turned out to be one of the hosts masquerading during the show. And it was so insightful and amazing, and really made me feel bad when I found out that I was being duped the whole time.
You thought you had like a genius hanging out in the chat room?
Finally, there's some engagement. This is amazing. And yeah, there was no real engagement.
Oh, Mark. Poor guy.
Okay, we do have more emails. I don't know if you want to jump into
a couple more apps and then come back. So go ahead and hit us with your next app, Dor.
Okay, what I'm going to bring next is change my screen. This one I first saw mention of in our Google Plus community at Google Plus Android App Addicts, and it's called Focus Go, unreleased. We've had in the past extremely light, nimble gallery applications for our images and photos. A couple of them have went down the dark path of being sold off and doing not friendly things with the source code and thus becoming almost unwanted wear on your phone. This one was posted by Richard in our Google Plus group. So thank you very much, Richard. And I looked at this app and I thought, this is a really nice looking app, but I worry about its future. This might turn into one of those kind of apps. And then I looked who it was made by. Again, it's called Focus Go, unreleased, and it's by Francisco Franco. If you've listened to this show for, 490 episodes, we've said that name more than a couple times. He is one of the legendary kernel hackers in the Android world. He has put out some of the most forward-thinking applications and some of the most solid applications I've seen on this platform. So I feel unbelievably good about pushing this application. It's marked E4 everyone. It is in development. So right now there's no in-app purchases or ads, free to download, free to install, updated November 28th, 2017, between 5,000 and 10,000 installs, does require 5.0 Android or higher. This is just extremely light, extremely simplistic, extremely fast gallery application to browse pictures, do some very light editing on pictures or images, or share them out or delete them.
I never do this, but this is so good. I have to read the description, the whole description. So here we go.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the 348,089th time attempt to write this description. It's a free app, so I don't need to sell you on it. So here we go. Focus Go is the gallery I always wanted to have, so I built it. I don't like bloated galleries with 23,093,485 features, so I built the ones that I need think are needed. Galleries are a big canvas to showcase your pictures slash cat gifts slash videos on a chronological order from new to old, nothing else. You click the picture, it loads up in a fancy animation, and voila, full screen with touch controls. And I'm going to skip over a little bit, and he goes, you can also choose... the picture and its touch control. Zooming in is super mega hyper retina. Oh my God, smooth. The picture is divided into tiles and each tile is re-rendered. So it's the best quality when you zoom in just like magic and you don't even notice it happening. Well, you know it because your device probably sucks. And I load pictures by default with a lower bit rate, which is why you'll probably see some banding on gradients, but fear not. You can enable the 32-bit decoder inside options. How nice is that? You can also choose the size of the grid, whatever you like. I like the default, but if you have big display, maybe the compact will look better. You can share from other apps to Focus Go. You can share two other apps from Focus Go. So what else do I need? What else do you need in a gallery? Coffee maker? And you know the best of it? The APK is only 1.4 megabits. Can you believe that? Megabytes, probably. So there we go. I'm going to stop there. But yeah, this guy was definitely hyped up on caffeine as he wrote that. And it's a photo gallery.
So you're saying he's a normal developer? Like
so these are your photos, right? This isn't a warehouse of other people's photos like Flickr.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And what a lot of people will end up doing, and here's the gimmick, if you go into most Android OS's, you go to your settings menu, you go to your apps menu, there's sometimes a settings or configuration or the three button hamburger menu, default app settings, you can change your default gallery app. So every time you launch gallery, instead you can launch this app. And I will promise you only one thing. I don't care what you're running. I don't care when you got it. If you're running Android 5 or newer, this will run faster than anything you have installed right now. And it isn't going to go evil. And it's by a guy who we don't have to worry about just dropping it and never updating it again.
He says this is 100% free, and you'll probably complain about some missing feature you think should be there. If that's the case, you should probably look elsewhere. I love that. This is my thing. Take it or don't.
Hmm. Yep.
I'll take it. I've installed it. I don't see much difference yet than what I'm used to, but I do like how you can see more of what's on your phone faster, I think, because the thumbnails are smaller.
All right, Eric, what's your next app?
My next app is... I got to find my chat room. Okay, it's right there. It is called Note Fighter Unlimited. This is a lot like guitar game you play on Xbox.
Guitar Hero?
Yeah, like Guitar Hero. But it's very steampunkish, and it's supposed to teach you how to know what keys are what on a piano. Oh, did I not put it in there? I'm sorry. Thought I had it in there. Okay. Anyway, it's by Mythic Owl. It's music and video. It plays some classic, you know, like Mozart kind of stuff. It sounds really nice, but basically it's a tap and keep going. Maybe in the upper levels you actually do learn how to play piano. I didn't, but it's some people are really into steampunk. I think I would be. I just, for some reason, I don't. I like the thing of steam. Think a steampunk is really cool, but I've never actually bought any decorations that were steampunkish. But it's cool to look at. And the guy's name is Steamy.
I was a steampunk for Christmas for Halloween because it's a super easy costume.
You were a steampunk?
Yeah, I was a punk full of steam. I had the.
Did you have gears?
Yeah, I had the big hat. I had the welding apron. I had the goggles. Yeah. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's not over there either.
Over there. Yeah, to me this is like Guitar Hero for piano. So if you're a fan of keyboarding, my logic is then you might completely like own this game in like a day and just destroy it. Ashamed to say. My nephew got some money somehow, I don't even want to know how. His mom took him to Target and she let the boy buy a cat piano. You literally hit the keys, meow, 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 meow. it is the most annoying thing I think I've ever seen in my life. and I can't believe she hasn't broke it yet. But I saw this app and I did show it to him. He said he loved it, except it wasn't as cool as his because the keys sounded like keys and not cats.
It's kind of cool how the steampunk guy kicks the notes as they come at you. So basically you're timing it so that you kick the notes away. You don't want to get taken out by them.
A friend of mine's brother-in-law once bought his son a drum set for his like 8th birthday. And this is why people hate their families.
Oh, I was always, I'm that uncle. I buy the loudest, noisiest toys I possibly can for birthdays for my sister-in-laws and sisters.
Well, then see, that's when I would make sure we go over your house to get the presents so they never make it home.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. That's insane. Then I'll get cool ones. Hey, are you going back to some emails? Because I wanted to give a shout out to somebody.
Okay, go ahead.
Other than Ken at Google Fi, Project Fi. But I'd like to give a shout out to Kevin McLaughlin, one of our supporters who has hooked up the show more than once. It's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Kevin.
Yay. All right, let's read an email from Todd. It's both an email and an app. I like those. Those are my favorite kind because it makes me look like I'm bringing an app when it's really you doing it. Says, hey guys, I just wanted to share a quick note about an app that has been useful to me. I know there are at least a couple of other truckers that listen to the show. They probably using this app in their trucks if they don't already have electronic logs. Big Road is an electronic log app that keeps track of your hours, mileage, inspections, and more. It's probably going to sound a little a little Greek to non-CDL listeners. I'll make it brief. I've attached a screenshot of the main screen of the app. That doesn't help the listeners unless they're looking at the app in the Play Store page. Tapping the circular button places you on duty and automatically changes your duty status to driving once the vehicle is in motion. Below the duty status button is a row of shortcuts to your essential apps. Edit this to include the ones you like, Google Maps, calculator, truck, stop locators, phone dialer, and any other of your must-haves. All the areas of the log can be edited, including your times, hours, mileage, etc. Logs can be emailed, printed, or faxed when completed. Also, you can snap the image of the shipping document or other paperwork and attach the file to your log transmission. Even though the company I drive for uses ELD, this app has come in handy when I have to use a rental tractor without the ELD. While this app may have a limited audience with the AA universe, I'm hoping I can help someone who may not be aware of this useful tool. Thanks for all the great shows, guys, and keep up the great work. And to my fellow listeners, if you feel you get some value from listening, please reciprocate and give some feedback, give some value back to the show at patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Like Mark says, pay for what you like. We are their only means of support. Not Blue Apron or GoDaddy or any number of annoying ads. I wouldn't have it any other way, and I hope you folks agree and step up. Thanks again, guys. Todd, P.S. ITM, Eric.
Hey, all right, Todd, ITM.
Assume that means in the mail.
In the morning.
In the masculinity? No?
No.
I tried.
All right, let me do one more from Brian, who has both an app and an email. And that will clear out the email bag. Salutations, gents. Saw this in the store and thought I would share. I don't know much about it, just saw it, but I know three guys who can figure out such things, whether it's a crap or a keeper app. Keep up the good work. Love the shows. As always, I'm more of a lurker than anything, but just know you gents are appreciated. Thanks. And the app is...
And he gave the app Datally, and it is by Google LLC. So I installed this on the Note 4. It's not a real good use case to try because I don't have any mobile data going on with it because it's not actually hooked up with a phone. So, but basically any Project Fi user is going to kind of recognize this app because basically the Project Fi is really good at monitoring your data usage because that's how you pay them is on your data usage mostly. And what it looks like is they took all their bits from the Project Fi app and now they're giving it to everybody to use on their own carriers, on their own phones. And then there's a couple extra things in here that I don't remember the Project Fi app doing, like being able to block per app, to control the data usage per app inside here. So I'm excited to kind of try it out on a phone that I do have mobile data on. I think it could be really good, especially for my use case where I'm trying to minimize my, you know, my gigabytes a month as it is. So now Door's on unlimited, so he'd care less how much data he's using or saving.
No. For me, it isn't about data. This app is missing, from what I can tell, the only feature from Google Fi that I would look forward to if I switched their service, which is the ability to connect automatically to Wi-Fi spots that Google has deemed good enough, and then getting that secure connection back up to the internet.
Right. That is nice.
That's the feature that I would happily, to be honest, if I'm on like a limited plan of data, I would probably happily even pay $5 just for that service. But it doesn't look like this will allow you to securely connect to any of those access points that they give you the secure tunnel back through on Fi, because that to me would be awesome.
And having that makes it feel a little better when you're in a hotel, I got to say.
A little? Yeah. Because then I might actually be able to, you know, limit my data amount. If you're on a limited plan, or you just get really bad service when you're on mobile data, this might be the app to help you out.
It's still not going to make voice calls over Wi-Fi for you, right?
That has to be supported by, I believe, the phone and your carrier.
Yeah, that's another thing Fi does too, is that.
All right, I lied to you. I said that was all the emails. We have one more, and then let me read that, and then we'll empty the tank. This is from Aaron. He says, keep up the great work, guys. I listened to you religiously and grabbed pod nuts in your pocket. You mentioned that the developer gets paid from the ads. Is that each time the app is open? Just curious. Also, is there a pro version coming? This one's a touch longer than Door's suggested email of support, but I really enjoy the show, and you guys keep up the good work. Cheers, Aaron from Canada. P.S. Mark, Flow Hexes just released new levels. You're welcome.
You're an evil, evil man. So I would say, Aaron, that's the perfect amount of time for an email. Honestly, it was not too short or too long.
He knows my reading behavior, and if an email is longer than this, I'll leave it unread until I'm downstairs in my man cave in peace and quiet, just got done sucking down a Monster Energy drink, and then I'll open up the email and read it.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm so thirsty for a Monster right now.
Well, you know, you go to the local Walmart, you can get a pack of 10 of them for $14. That's $1.40 a pop, man.
Can you get that in Canada? Can he get that in Canada?
If he drives over the border,
those
sure
things
he can.
Taste like licking dried Jello out of a package. I don't understand how anybody could enjoy that.
Wow, that sounds really intriguing. Actually, I wouldn't mind trying that now that you mentioned. I've never done that.
Okay, three ways I can enjoy it. Total carbs per can, 4. Total sugars, 0, and lots of caffeine. So that's, you know, my solution to happiness. I mean, my wife asked me what I want for Christmas. Caffeine.
More Red Bull, please.
You still got packets of liquid caffeine?
Sure do.
Do you use them?
Sure do.
Do you pour one into a Monster Energy drink?
No, I'm not a glutton.
Well, just checking.
I put them in my Arctic cup.
Literally, R-T-I-C, R-T-I-C.
Yeah, I wouldn't lie to you, R-T-I-C. And it's one of those stainless steel, vacuum-sealed, insulating Yeti rip-off mugs that I got from now Vipon for $6. And then I put water in there and put a little caffeine in there and stuff gets done.
Caffeinated water. Does it have any flavor at all?
Caffeine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tastes horrible.
So you're adding a horrible flavor to your water.
It's diluted enough to where you don't taste it in the water. But if you take the packet, cut it open and go like a ketchup packet, you know how when you're a kid, you take you do that, you will nearly get sick. It is nasty.
So you've done that. I mean, if you were really tired, would you just cut the corner and squeeze in?
If I answer honestly, will you hold it against
me? No, I'm
okay. Then yes, I did.
You did. You don't, yeah, but you did.
I did.
Okay. So
it was nasty. It was horrible.
Have you guys heard of this gel stuff you can squeeze into your mouth that comes out of a package? I heard about it just for the first time yesterday. My daughter works at a sporting goods store and runners buy it.
Oh, yeah. It supposedly tastes really bad, too.
Yeah. Maybe you want to try.
I'll just say this. There are few professions in the world that believe in woo-woo easier and quicker than athletes. And among the top of that chain of people believing in weird pseudosciencey stuff, it seems to be runners.
I mean, it's lightweight energy, I think, is what they're getting at. It's just basically this goo. And it just makes me think of Idiocracy, where they're just eating like lard out of a tub that's got all the nutrients.
Yeah. I was listening to one of my science podcasts where they were measuring people's, I want to say, caloric levels before and after certain things. There were marathon runners dosing up so hard on this kind of thing, they literally had more energy in their system to waste after a marathon versus before it, which is insanity. There's no way that can be good for your digestive inner working organs, I in my logic. But of course, me no doctor. Hell, technically speaking, I didn't graduate high school, but legally I can say
Running 26 miles is not good for your body either. These people aren't interested in good for their body. As much as they say they are, they're not.
Well, and that's the thing. We've heard this now, I don't know, my whole life. Moderation. Not 26 miles. Moderation. You know, 3 miles maybe, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
All right, let's empty some tanks, shall we? Eric, first you, and then the illustrious one.
My tank is empty already.
Okay.
I haven't had a phone since Sunday. It kind of slows me down.
You know, you were talking about going 3 days without a phone. Somebody in the chat room said they've been a week without a phone. I left my phone at home and went to the movies and was having panic attacks by the time we got home. That was 2.5 hours, and I was like, what if somebody texted me? What? I can't get my notification. What am I going to do? Yeah, I don't understand how you people live like that.
But
I technically have 4 phones in the house that I can use. I have my Honor 8. After that, I have my OnePlus 1. After that, I have an Asus Zenfone 2. And if push comes to shove, I'll boot my Firefox phone up because I'm not going without a phone. I'm pretty sure I would literally be tapered down to a bed with straps. I'm not able to function. And you can say I have a problem. Guess what? I don't care. Take it. Yeah, I do.
One good thing with Hangouts, so I at least had text messaging, because my car during this phone issue is sitting at my mechanics. So I'm like, I wonder if he found anything wrong with it. So text message works. So that was one good way to contact him. Yeah, in our chat room, SJ, he's the one who hasn't had a phone for a week. He also he smashed his phone. He sent us a picture of it. It's in the chat room. Cat died before Thanksgiving, and his laptop had a spiderweb crack in it, and his iPod now has a bright spot. Man.
Well, that just proves my theory.
Doesn't it make you kind of think like that ad for, I don't know what phone it was, but let's just break all of your electronic gadgets right before Christmas. So, I lost my phone. I don't know.
Now, it just proves my theory. If you wake up and nothing hurts and you slept great and you get out of bed and nobody's annoying and you get ready and everything's great and then you go to where you're going and there's no traffic and then you get where you're going and everything's going great, you're actually dead and it's all a dream.
Or it's Sunday and you weren't even supposed to be at work yet.
No, it's all a dream. Life is pain. Life is suffering. Life is stuff going wrong. That's my theory. Expect things to go wrong. If you expect life to be perfect, again, you're going to have a very, very...
Like Grandma used to say, keep your expectations low and you're never disappointed.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. Pets dying, there ain't no way around it. If you have a pet, it's going to die. And that's why my kids don't have a pet, because I love them dearly. And they are not.
It is hard, man. Yeah, we had a dog die a couple years, 2 years ago, and it's tough.
I think that's an important part of the life cycle process. We've had lots of pets in this, and basically, when we go to the pet store and they're picking out a cute little bunny, I literally say to them, "Do you want to watch that die in 3 years?" Because hamsters,
is that all they live?
You know, hamsters. Well, rabbits can live a long time, but hamsters have like a 2.5 year lifespan. Gerbils have about a 3 year lifespan. Parakeets, depending, can, if they're taken well, good care of, can last 10 years. In my house, they last about 8 months.
Jeez, man,
I'm just killing subspecies left and right.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I am getting close to getting my kid some kind of pet. The main reason we don't have one now is because I don't want to have the thing over my shoulder every day. I have to leave work, go straight home, and take care of X.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
You got to plan vacations around, things. That's one thing you have to get dealt with before you can go places and stuff.
Right.
All right, Dor. Any last apps that you just absolutely have to share before we say goodnight?
I'll bring probably one or two here. The first one I'm going to bring is only because it is very, very, very well done, very well polished, and there's a reason for it. This is called Duke Dashington Remastered by Adventure Islands. Adventure, E for everyone, only 36 reviews, completely free to download, does have in-app purchases and ads, 4.8 average reviews, updated November 22nd, 2017. Between 500 and 1,000 installs, version 1.0. Yes, it is that new. This is a remastering of a game that was previously out. It was actually, I believe, pretty successful on computer in its retro look. So what you're getting here is a more polished version of what was already a pretty successful game.
I'm pretty sure old Duke there isn't wearing any pants. Just saying.
I will say I'm offended that you take offense to that. what I'm going to say is if you look at this and if this does look like a kind of game you might have fun with, because to me, I like this game because the character is not huge, but he's not small. He is very well proportioned versus the screen. It's basically puzzle solving action platformer is how I would describe the game. I definitely had some fun playing this one, and it's a remastering, so everything was very tight and very polished from the from the first time I booted it up. So I was pretty happy with it.
Nice. It's definitely your genre. Gotta say,
you have 10 seconds to leave each room before the ceiling collapses. So you can play a lot of rounds in a short amount of time.
Oh yeah, and I definitely like that. Next one I'm going to bring really quick. It's really only going to fit some people's needs, but it's CNET Best Tech News Reviews, Videos, and Deals. Some people are moving away from going to Facebook, going to Twitter, going to Google+, finding what others are telling them to go look at. And some people are reverting back and sticking with dedicated sites and going there looking for news. CNET has had a very up and down past. I'll say that. Right now, they're following the lead of The Verge, and they're not focusing really on specs and benchmarks, but they're focusing more on style and form versus function. But I still think they put out some pretty good stuff. So I did install this. I did play around with it. And if you want to keep track of the latest postings on the latest tech and the latest articles kind of thing, I think this actually worked really well.
I do like the look of this app. I mean, I've seen it. I still have that bad taste in my mouth from seeing it. But I do like how you can watch a video at the top and scroll through the. It's a good looking app. You scroll through. You can read the words down below while the video is still playing at the top of the screen. That's pretty neat.
Right, and I'll add this. I swear you get less ads on this than you get by going to their website. Maybe it's just an illusion, but if it is, it's a very well crafted illusion, because to me, I swore there was less ads.
Okay, that's good. I will give it a try. I'm always down for some new forms of news.
All right, so this here just reminds me of why I don't go to CNET for stuff. The title, the article is titled Amazon Cloud Cam, Everything You Need, Nothing You Don't. Okay, the Cloud Cam is everything you don't need. I'm just saying.
Do you have one?
No, but it's a cloud cam. Nobody needs that. Anyway, CNET has just always been very hyperbolic in their writing. Everything is either the best or the worst, and that's what bothers me about CNET.
Well, and typically they are what I would say technology huggers. They seem to sing the praises of nearly anything that's new, and the only things they don't sing the praises are seems few to me.
Right.
It has to be like pretty atrociously bad for them to not, be all over it.
Yeah. Anyway, bring us one more and that'll take us up to 10.
Okay. Next one I'm going to bring then is...
Downloads.com app. No, I'm sorry.
Back to 1998.
No. This is a sandbox/art application. It's called My Pixels Numbering... Numbers Color Sandbox. Essentially, we've all seen like pixel type graphics, whether it be cat emojis or kind of like avatar type looking artwork. With this one, they basically give you a complete template. You can zoom in, everything is already numbered for you, and then you can basically pick what color to assign to each number, and then you can basically paint by numbers and create your own avatars based off of their templates. I do believe there is a way you can customize the templates and create your own. My son loved the idea of this. He likes being creative within boundaries, if that makes any sense. He doesn't like to be completely on his own when doing stuff. Because when there's too much choice, he just, says this is too complicated.
It's basically a paint by numbers.
Paint by numbers, pixelish style is what I'll say.
All right, let me review the spate of apps. We have My Christmas Tree by Imagineer, the Merge Cube, which is not really an app, by MergeVR.com. Fifth Edition Character Sheet by Walter Kramerer. Complete Reference for D&D 5 by Vonstein and Grotius. Focus Go by Francisco Franco. Note Fighter by Mythic Owl. Big Road Trucking Logbook App by Big Road Inc. Daily Mobile Data Saving and Wi-Fi Apps by Google. Duke Dashington Remastered by Adventure Island. CNET. Best Tech Reviews, Videos, and Deals by CBS Interactive Incorporated, and My Pixels Number Coloring Sandbox by Crimson Pine Games. 10 apps and a hardware, good and true, on this this longest show maybe ever.
I don't know. It's there. It's
don't tempt fate, Mark. Don't tempt fate.
Yeah.
All right. So it was good to be back. I missed a couple of weeks. I was gone. And then we had Thanksgiving, and so I'm back now, only to be gone again next week. That's my dedication to this show.
well, that's this time of
distance
year.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder for you, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, November and particularly December is when every elementary and middle school has every program imaginable. Next week, I'm not kidding you, in 5 days, we have 7 events that we have to go to.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's fun times.
But the good news is after that, it should lighten up.
That there sounds like PPP by that school.
Well, it's 3 different schools. That's part of the problem.
Ah, so they're not communicating. You mean like our government? Oh, wait, they are our government. Never mind.
All right, Eric, any final words of wisdom for our audience before we say goodnight?
Happy shopping for all your Christmas gifts. Give the gift that keeps on giving. I don't know. I'm never ready for that part. I should have something written down.
Bacon of the Month Club. Just saying.
That, yeah. Is there 12 bacons?
Well, there are many, many more than 12 bacons. And Dor, you, sir, get to round out the show with your great musings, which begin now.
I want to thank everyone for their support. I want to thank the chat room for the last, I don't even know, 6 or 7 weeks, giving us the best show names ever.
Yeah.
If you want to take part of that, all you got to do is follow us on twitter.com/podnuts, or you can download the app Podnuts in My Pocket, and you will get a notification, a handcrafted, locally sourced, small batched, organically grown notification from Caleb Faltz himself, the man, the myth, the legend. And then you too can join us in the live chat room. Also, do not forget voicemails, 7076 Podnut, email aaa@podnuts.com. And we will be again back next week. There is going to be some special content posted to the Patreon here in less than a week. Will be a video I will release there very shortly after. It's about instant apps on Android, what they are, what devices will work with them, and what to expect out of them.
Cool.
And because I said it, now I have to do it.
I'm on the edge of my ball with anticipation.
Well, technically it's all a ball, right? I mean, it's all an edge. Isn't it like an infinite edge?
Sure. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to us. And remember, pay for what you like. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. I'd like to invite you to listen to all the great shows on the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network. My show is themed Everyday Tech for Everyday People. You can take a listen over at podnuts.com or by subscribing to the RSS feed and downloading them directly. We hope you're enjoying all the great content here on the network. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.